Now, after the first service, I was asked by one gentleman why I put my cane up here so prominently. And I warned all of you who were in the service that I left it here so that if you go to sleep, I can throw it at you. So be careful and be warned. Before we start, though, let's take a time to pray. Lord, we come here today into your presence. We come not because this is a particular time of day or this is the thing we're supposed to do, but we come hoping, longing maybe, to meet you, to see you so that we can share all the hopes and fears that we have, to hear you say, "My child, it will be well." Maybe to give up the things that we have done, maybe to look for what we should do, but we come to meet you. So here we are, Lord. Help us today to grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well now, as we start, I think I can say reasonably confidently that most people in here have heard at least a couple of messages about the Lord's Supper. Various things have been taught and preached to you. So this morning, I'm not going to add something new. Don't all run away. But I don't want to add anything new to your experience. I'm not going to share something with you that will make you say, "Wow, I never thought of it that way before." But what I do have to present to you is really, for all Christians, the heart of the matter. And for me, this is probably one of the most important things that I could share with you. It's six words used twice in the passage that we're going to look at today, but they will affect your life. They will change and shape your life if you listen to them and if you will let them. So let's start first by reading a passage from Scripture that we heard just a short time ago, actually, when we shared in communion. This is Paul passing on what he has received from the Lord, instructions for sharing the Lord's Supper. If you want to follow along, it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It starts in verse 23 and we'll read through verse 26. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.'" Context, we're always worried about context, of course. What was actually going on when Paul was giving this? Was it just instructions? No, he is now here in the middle of a passage where he is talking to the Corinthians, talking to the church there, and the people there, trying to warn them about the way they had been behaving, the way they had been acting, and in this particular case, the way they had been basically messing up the Lord's Supper. Look at chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians again. Don't put your Bibles away. We're not done yet. I'm going to read a couple of verses here that will illustrate to you what he is saying. First, in chapter 11, same place, but now in verse 17 we'll start. He says to them, "But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse." Whoops. Then switch down to verse 20. Now, remember, he's talking about what they have been doing in the Lord's Supper. And verse 20 says, "When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat." We get the impression that they may have thought they were, and something was wrong. And this is what he is talking about. Look now at verse 22. He says, "What?" Exclamation point. "Do you not have houses to eat or drink in? Do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this?" No, he says, "I will not." So he's being fairly strong here. Then right after that, in order to make things clear what he was talking about, he tells us how we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And he specifically says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." This is not Paul thinking about what would be good to do. This is something that he received from Christ. But he didn't finish there. After that passage, verse 27 and verse 28, he continues making sure that the Corinthians know that he's not pleased with the way they've been doing things. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Well, now what then are we supposed to do? Here is what he is saying. When Jesus first shared the Last Supper, which becomes our Lord's Supper, and when Paul passed the instructions on, there's a phrase which reaches out and grabs you. In his instructions here, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's a nice preacher sermon. There's 3 points in there. But do this in remembrance of me. See what exactly is the way we're supposed to be going. First, he says, "Do this." Now, we're going to take these words a little bit one at a time. First, he says, "Do." Do? When he says "do," he doesn't mean to read about it occasionally. He doesn't mean to check out reference books from the library and find out what "do" is about. Or think about it. Or study it, or meditate for months about what doing is. Not even to join the discussion group to consider the origins and the implications of "do." Do this, he says, do. It's active. It's participatory. It's something you're supposed to be involved in. It's not something that just washes over you, that just goes by fast. You are to be involved. In other words, turn your brains on at least. Now, he continues on. Let me approach it in a different way to tell you what he is doing here. Think about this. Imagine that you're enduring a really nasty Maryland summer. It's mid-August. The temperature outside is 99 and the humidity feels like it's got to be at least 150%. You're staying inside to keep cool. And while you're inside keeping cool, the air conditioning breaks down. Do I hear a response there? But anyway, you call the air conditioning tech because you need to get it fixed before you melt. Now, when you call, do you want to hear him say that he'll study the matter and get back to you in a couple days? Or, even better, would you really be thrilled to have him say that he'll convene a meeting of 3 or 4 other air conditioning techs and they will pray over your air conditioner? Maybe what you really want to say to him is what was famously said by Baltimore's former mayor, William Donald Schaefer, who said, "Do it now." But that is the exact sense of the "do." It's active. It's something that you should jump to do. It's something that you want to throw yourself into, to find out, to explore. to be a part of. A short aside here, do in the scriptures is in the present imperative, which is a technical term which basically indicates that the disciples and we as well were not simply to follow Jesus' lead for a single meal. It was just not a one-time thing. Rather, Jesus was providing instructions for continuing occasions into the future. In other words, what he was saying is partaking in the Lord's Supper is a continuous action. It's not just a one-time thing. We are to do this, he says. Well, you have to ask, what is the this? Jesus, and of course Paul in 1 Corinthians, when he is passing the instructions along that Jesus gave to him, Jesus said these words as he broke the bread and shared it, and as he shared the cup. We are to do this. That's what the this is. Those to whom Jesus spoke, Paul's hearers, and we as well, are to reenact the supper as Christ shared it with them, breaking and partaking, words of blessing, words of thanksgiving, explanations of the significance of the wine and the bread. What's all this about anyway? Do this. Not just eat and drink the Lord's Supper. It's not just juice and crackers. But share the bread that represents the Lord's body, sacrificed. The sinless one died in order to provide us with the hope and reality of eternal life. And share the wine, the juice if you prefer, which represents the shed blood of the Son of God who died that we might live. Think about that. God died that you might live. Secondly, second part of the phrase. First he said, do this. Now he says, do this in remembrance. In remembrance. What are we to remember? Well, we could go through the scriptures and look at all the stuff that Jesus did and all the things that Jesus taught during his life and ministry and remember all of them, and it would probably be a good thing. But it's because the Lord's Supper is to be a meal of memory. But first, we can rule some things out. We are not to anticipate the dinner to come and remember how long it's been since breakfast. We are not to remember how late we ran last month and hope that we get to the restaurant before the Methodist this week. Nor, sorry Mike, should we remember the Orioles division championship and speculate on how far we go. I couldn't resist that. I've seen Red Sox caps up here before, so I'll get the other side. But now, what should we remember? Where can we focus? Should we remember Jesus resisting Satan's temptations in the wilderness? Should we remember his feeding of the 5,000, or his walking on water, or his calming the storm? Should we remember his healing the lepers, healing the blind, and weeping over Jerusalem? All those are great times. They're great lessons, but they are not the focus of the Lord's Supper. Well, context can help us again. If we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says that on the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. Notice this, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus instructed us concerning the Lord's Supper just before his trial, just before his arrest, just before his crucifixion and death, and shortly before his resurrection. So it would seem fairly logical for us to assume that this is the focus of what we are to remember. This, the sharing of the bread and the cup, and what it meant. All of Jesus' ministry pointed to this event. All his love led him up to this point, that he might die for us to live. The theme of remembrance here in this second phrase suggests that those who participate in the Lord's Supper, as we just did, are to recognize and remember the redemption that was won for them only through Christ's sacrifice. The redemption that washed away all the worldly distinctions and created a fellowship of people who are all rich and poor, slave and free, which is Galatians 3, who are all saved by grace through faith and not of works, which is Ephesians 2. In the Lord's Supper, we remember why we are a fellowship, a community saved by grace through the death and resurrection of Christ, and we rediscover the nature of our unity in Him. Finally, third phrase, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, we believe that the Lord's Supper is symbolic, but symbolic of what? Jesus said, "of me." What did he mean? Now, I could go through a lot of theological explanations. I could go through a lot of biblical references, but it might do better at this particular point to share a story with you. The best way to explain is this. A young man and a young girl, you've heard stories like this before. He felt very strongly for her. But this young man was not real articulate. He wasn't real quick with the words. He was very shy and stood back when somebody started to say something. So he took all his courage, all his words, everything that he could do, and he gave her a rose. Now, was that rose just a biological growth of a certain size and a certain color? Thornless, I hope. Or was it a symbol of something more? Was it something that he may not have had the words to express? Time goes by, and the rose becomes the beginning of something that was truly special between the two, that lasted over years and years to go. Children, school, graduation, weddings, and death. Then one day, a packager, long mislaid, but still sealed and airtight, arrives at the woman's home. And in that package, once again, is a single rose and his name. For her, in that particular situation, was that rose just a biological growth, just a piece of plant matter? Or did it mean something much, much more? For her, what became present in her life in that instant? Was it just the rose? Was it just a memory? Or could it almost have been the reality of the years of sharing and love that comes flooding back to her? And this story is just a human occasion. Think about this now. When we break the bread, when we share the cup, when we remember what the Savior did for us, what he gave up for us, ask yourself, what comes flooding back to you? He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." When we share the bread and the cup, I hope it's a moment of prayer and participation. For this communion that we share brings us face to face with the Lord, what his life and ministry and resurrection means to us. There's a biblical basis, but a powerful personal effect as well. And here's the application. For many of us, we are focusing on the Lord's sacrifice for us. we're focusing on how we can live. But for many, there's more. We come to the table in many ways, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. We come, many of us, if not all of us, with needs. Many of those needs never have been expressed openly, but they are crying out from the inside. If you need a sense of belonging, the Lord's Supper says that you now belong to this group who have shared with you the special experience and intimacy of the Lord's presence, and you belong to and with the Lord. You belong. If someone comes in the midst of a crisis or personal tragedy, the Lord's Supper tells you that at the deepest, most personal level, you are not alone. There is at least one who, from the very depths of his being to the very depths of your being, understands. And if you come when hope is low, when it seems that there is no future, nowhere to go for you at all, nothing to look forward to, Lord's Supper tells you that there is more future and more hope than you could ever, ever imagine. And I hope, as we have shared in the Lord's presence here today at the table, that we understand what he is saying, that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he would be in the midst of them. For today, we have surely gathered in his name. Let's pray. Lord, here we are. We have shared your table in the Lord's Supper so brief, so soon. But now, help us to grow through that. Make it more than just a time. Make it what we have participated, what we have been active in. Let us look forward to sharing the Lord's Supper again in a way that is more real and strong than ever, ever before. Thank you, Lord, for what we have done, for we have done it in your presence. You, our risen Savior, you have been here. Lord, I pray at this time that you will touch each heart. If there was a need in any heart, in any person today, bring them to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. This time is for you. As we stand to sing together, if you feel the need to share a burden, a hope, a fear, or if you feel the need to give yourself to the Lord or to become a part of this fellowship, this time, as Mike stands it, we meet you at the front. This time is for you. So let us sing and come.
Lord Jesus, I love you.